Members of the Battle Creek Church, St. Helena, California, October 24, 1907. To the members of the Battle Creek Church. While searching in my diary recently, I found something that I had written under date of February 26, 1906. This I now send to you because the instruction is timely. In the night seasons, scene after scene has been presented before me. Night after night, I ask the question, Lord, what shall we do? Our people are allowing themselves to be held in Battle Creek, where the spiritual atmosphere is unwholesome, and they do not comprehend their danger. During the past night, the Lord has shown me that the gathering together of the youth at Battle Creek for educational purposes is contrary to His will. For unbelief is being instilled into their minds that will unfit them for the work that must be done in giving the warning message to the world, and in preparing a people to stand in the terrible conflict that is before us. The words were spoken to some of the educators at Battle Creek, Thou art weighed in the balance, and art found wanting. Daniel 5, verse 27. There are some whom the Lord will not withdraw from Battle Creek. There are men there who have the truth in their hearts, and who are striving to keep the principles of truth before the people. To those I would say, let the truth bear its message of warning to the people. Manifold developments will appear, but let the message of truth go forth from the tabernacle through sanctified channels. Give the trumpet a certain sound. The work of seeking to instill right principles into the minds of men and women who are being deceived, by those who seek to make of none effect the Word of God, will have its influence. Soon, very soon, it will be more fully revealed who are on the Lord's side. Our people have been taught to regard those who have carried the medical missionary work in Battle Creek as men whom the Lord was using in His work of ministry. It is true that in the past, notwithstanding their infirmities and oft-repeated blind movements, God has used these men. When they have made mistakes, He has corrected them. When they have done wrong, He has reproved them. Because of severe reproofs, they are now seeking to destroy the confidence of God's people in the messages of reproof and warning. In this, they are doing the work of the enemy. They are seeking to make of none effect the word that God has sent to His people through the working of His Spirit. Some are acting the part of Aaron to help on the work of apostasy. They have been weighed in the balances and have been found wanting. Men are spoiling their record and are proving that they are not to be trusted, but that they will betray the interests of the cause of God, making them the sport of sinners. The messages of heavenly origin that God has sent to His people to prepare them to stand in the last days, they have sneered at and scorned. But the evidence we have had for the past 50 years of the presence of the Spirit of God with us as a people will stand the test of those who are now arraying themselves on the side of the enemy and bracing themselves against the message of God. The message of Revelation 3 comes to God's people at this time. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received, and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I shall come upon thee. Verses 1-3. Words to the youth. I address those who have come to Battle Creek to obtain an education. If that education is of a character to undermine the truth that has been coming to us for the last 50 years, and which would keep us separate from the world as God's peculiar people, zealous of good works, you had better be deprived of some supposed advantages than to receive such an education. Subtle influences are at work in Battle Creek to undermine the faith of God's people in the truth that has brought us out on the platform on which we now stand as keepers of the commandments of God. We are exhorted as a people, Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Verses 2, 3. The work of ministers. Those who stand as ministers of the Word have an important work to do for the remnant people of God, that they may not be turned away from the truth to fables. Shall we heed the warnings that God is sending? There stand in Battle Creek those who are using all the sophistries that the human mind can invent to encourage unbelief and skepticism in the messages that God is giving to His people. If earnest efforts are not put forth to counteract this work, it will result in placing the believers where they will be the ready dupes of Satan. Those who are opposing the truth will seek to prevent the Lord's messengers from staying the work of unbelief. By falsehood, they will try to make of no effect the messages that come. But if the servants of the Lord seek humbly for wisdom and are led and instructed by Him, their efforts to make clear the evidences of the truth will not be without results. I have felt very deeply concerning those physicians who have linked themselves with Dr. Blank and are strengthening him in his heresies regarding the personality of Christ and God. The mind of Dr. Blank has been captivated by this delusion, and his close associates have been led into the same belief almost imperceptibly. Oh, if they could but see the results of being involved in so terrible a deception! They are being held with cords of sympathy, just as the once loyal angels were when they yielded to the deceptive power of Lucifer in the courts of heaven. Lucifer carefully concealed from the angels his real sentiments and purposes, and when he had succeeded in turning them from their loyalty, and the terrible results of his work were manifest, he tried to make it appear that he had not been the originator of the evil. He led the ones he had deceived to engage in warfare against Christ and the loyal angels, urging them on with the hope that they could overcome Christ and dethrone God. With Lucifer on the throne, as ruler in heaven, he told them that a better order of things would be brought in. God permitted Satan to carry forward his work until the spirit of disaffection ripened into active revolt. It was necessary for his plans to be fully developed, that their true nature and tendency might be seen by all. The spirit of discontent and disaffection was a new element, mysterious and unaccountable. Through the bewildering sophistry by which rebellion ever seeks to justify itself, Satan had disguised himself in a cloak of falsehood. While God could only employ such means as were consistent with truth and righteousness, Satan could work through flattery and deceit, and his powers to deceive were very great. In order that the true character of the usurper and his real object might be understood by all, he must have time to manifest himself. The history of the first great rebellion is being repeated in the history of God's people in these last days. The blindness that Elder Blank is exhibiting in the issuing of his writings makes me very sorry for him. He is spoiling his record. The Lord has repeatedly warned him, but he has bound himself up with the doctor and his intrigues, and he does not discern things in their true light. The snare of flattery has had its influence upon him when he should have understood its danger. In Battle Creek, we are seeing fulfilled the words of the Apostle: "Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Oh, how terrible it is for one to reject light and to scoff at the ministers of God! The indulgence of ambition, the desire to be first, has spoiled one whom God would have honored had he heeded the invitation: "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28-30. The love of Jesus in the heart will be a safeguard from the beginning to the close of our religious experience, for the heart that is in full union with Christ will not come into close affinity with those who carry themselves in a spirit of self-sufficiency. The truly humble-hearted will never sell themselves to take part in the schemes of the enemy. Every trait of character will be molded to the likeness of Christ, and the spiritual nature will expand and grow.
In developing the work of our sanitariums, our schools, or any other branch of the cause of God, the workers need to place their entire dependence upon the wisdom that cometh from above. When God's Word is carefully studied and its requirements clearly understood, right principles will be brought into every transaction. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Psalm 12, verse 6. There will be no deviating from the truth in word or action. The words spoken will be like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Proverbs 25, verse 11. Our lives belong to God. They are not ours to trifle with. We have been purchased with the blood of the Son of God, and whether we acknowledge it or not, we belong to Him. Our safety will always lie in accepting the redemption that has been purchased for us by making Christ the way, the truth, and the life. A message to parents. The Lord has given me a message to bear to fathers and mothers. Parents, begin the work of training and educating your children just where the Lord begins His work for you. Search the Scriptures that you may understand what God requires of you and your families. Teach your children the importance of obedience to all of God's commands. And begin your work of instruction with the first dawning of intelligence, teaching them lessons that are fitted to their years and understanding. Continue the work of training through their growing years, and thus forestall the enemy, who waits for an opportunity to instill his evil principles in the hearts and minds of the youth. And by thus educating your children in the way of the Lord, you will confirm your own faith in God and in His truth. Parents, you are God's children. By your own example, show your children that you obey God's commandments to the smallest detail. Your children are the Lord's heritage. They are to be brought to Christ and trained for the service of God. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The family is to be a school, the father and mother the teachers. Every word spoken, every act performed in the home life, should be of such a nature that it will be preparing the children for the higher school above. This is the time for parents to prove that they are wise and are fitting the young for a place in that school where Christ will be the teacher throughout the eternal ages. The work of education in the home, if it is to accomplish all that God designs it shall, demands that parents be diligent students of the Scriptures. They must be learners of the great teacher. Day by day, the law of love and kindness must be upon their lips. Their lives must reveal the grace and truth that was seen in the life of their example. Then a sanctified love will bind the hearts of parents and children together, and the youth will grow up established in the faith and rooted and grounded in the love of God. When the will and ways of God become the will and ways of Seventh-day Adventist parents, their children will grow up to love and honor and obey God. Satan will not be able to gain control of their minds, for they have been educated to regard the word of the Lord as supreme, and they will test every experience that comes to them by the law and the testimony. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8, verse 20. We are to talk the love of God in our homes. We are to teach it in our schools. The principles of the Word of God are to be brought into the home and school life. If parents fully understood their duty of submission to the Lord's will, they would be wise counselors in our school and in educational matters. For their experience in home training would teach them how to guard against the temptations that come to children and youth. Teachers and parents would thus become laborers together with God in the work of educating the youth for heaven. Children should be taught to bear their part in the burdens of the home. Each should have his duties assigned him and should be taught to perform those duties with thoroughness and skill, the parents directing and planning with their children. Children are to be taught to be helpful and neat and orderly in their habits. Pleasant and profitable employment in the home will do much toward keeping the children from seeking the association of evil companions. Parents, time is short. You have none to waste. Teach your children to be the Lord's little missionaries, His helping hand in doing a good work in the earth. Many a child who lives out of the city can have a little plot of land where he can learn to garden. He can be taught to make this a means of securing money to give to the cause of God. Both boys and girls can engage in this work, and it will, if they are rightly instructed, teach them the value of money and how to economize. It is possible for the children, besides raising money for missionary purposes, to be able to help in buying their own clothes, and they should be encouraged to do this. Parents, you carry responsibilities that no one can bear for you. As long as you live, you are accountable to God to keep His way. God speaks to parents when He says, "Whosoever shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, the same shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 5, verse 19. Parents who make the Word of God their guide, and who realize how much their children depend upon them for the characters they form, will set such an example that it will be safe for their children to follow. Parents, you are making a record that will be eternal in its results. The principles you are bringing into your daily lives are deciding your eternal destiny. Will you not let this year see a decided change in your record?